Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday to you. We're so glad you're spending Saturday afternoon with us. I'm Paul Jamison, your host with the Jamison family of companies. That's Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, and Jamison Property Investments. Hello, hello. If you are a first-time listener, guess what? You're in for a treat. This is a show about your home, real estate, things that impact your largest investment more than likely, and ways that we can help you optimize those investments and ways and that you can think about those investments maybe a little bit differently. And guess who's with me? Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Hey, Sandy.
Hi. Hi, Paul.
Glad to be here. Also glad to have my buddy TJ back. Woo-hoo. And he is looking a lot healthier and a lot stronger. And so we are glad that he is here and ready to get back with us. George, thank you for filling in. But TJ, good to be with you, buddy. All right. What did I learn this week? First of all, you should not put your shirt in the wash machine with the I voted sticker on it.
What happened?
I have a big patch of glue in the shape of an oval on my shirt that will not come off.
Mm.
So, little home tip. It's great that you voted, but make sure you take the sticker off. You don't have to wear it to the bitter end. And it doesn't go through the wash very well. Second, I, state your name, Paul Jamison, can't have anything with jelly on it when I'm headed to work and eat it in the car. It is a lap magnet. Don't be like me. If you are going to take something with jelly on it, make sure what you're wearing matches the color of the jelly.
A lot of rules to be Paul Jamison.
There is. Third, I want to talk about what I see going on in the market today. I worked in an open house, and actually, Sandy, you were there with me.
Yes, I was.
And it was so funny because everybody that came into the open house, not everybody, I'm going to generalize, was an expert in real estate.
Yes.
They begin to tell me how the market is falling, prices are dropping, the buyers are back in the driver's seat, and they've seen nothing but price reduction, dominating the market values and dropping things rapidly. And they just said, you know what? We're going to just rent and wait for the market to crash. So, am I speaking the truth?
You are speaking
the
truth.
So it's pretty wild. So, let me share from someone who is not making a guess. Why am I not making a guess? Because I do this every day. So, this is what we see going on today. All right, number one, the market is slowing. Yes, but. Oh, isn't that always fun? Do you put that in quotes or do you do air quotes with that? Yes, but.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
It is not falling. Prices are not dropping, but they're stabilizing. Instead of 10 offers in 2 days, we're seeing 3 offers in 3 to 7 days. We're seeing the FHA and the VA offers coming back out of the woodwork because they were not as desirable before. And we're still seeing offers a little bit above asking price, but due diligence fees are stabilizing. We're starting to see them at around 1% to 2% of the offer price. Price reductions. Yes, we do see them. Yes, but, here's the air quotes. Picture it in your mind. Air quotes. Yes, but. It's on listings where the seller is, air quote again, testing the water on a price that doesn't have the word since connected to it, and they've ignored the data, or there's possibly a young agent who has made a mistake in pricing, and or they've not put it in the proper bracket. You know how everybody has what's called pet peeves? Here's one of mine. Listing a house, for example, let's first of all, here's a bracket. A bracket is 50,000, 100,000. So if you're doing a search, you'll go, I want to look at everything up to 500,000, or I want to look at everything up to 450,000, right? Well, if an agent prices a house at $505,000, what happens? That means everybody that's looking for a house up to 500,000 is never going to see that house because their search stops at 500 and they priced it at 505. They've missed one of the largest brackets there is, which is the 100,000 increment bracket. Next, number three, wait and go ahead and rent a little bit longer? Sure you can. But remember, as we said before, if you're interest rate driven and you're renting, what do you think the interest rate is on rent, Sandy?
Well, I think it's month over month, 1.3% and 14% year over year.
The interest rate on renting?
The interest rate.
The interest rate on renting is
120%.
That's right. Because 100% of the money you don't get back or any kind of principal on, and the other 20% is all the deductions you got to miss from being a homeowner. Interest deductions, la, la, la. So we say it 120% interest. And guess what else? Rent is probably going to go up at a faster pace this year than homes will. That's right. That's good emphasis there. So be aware that interest rates may fluctuate. So if you get locked into a rate that's a little bit higher, I'm speaking on Sandy's behalf, go ahead and refi the thing. But if rates go higher, you look pretty smart. Because we're in an interest rate zone of where we should be right now. The other stuff is fake. We all know it. And last, before we get to the mortgage update, is recent statistics show homeowners have 35 times the net worth of a renter. So what it's shown is, doesn't matter where your wealth has come from. The reality is homeowners have built tremendous wealth, and owning a home has been the impetus to a lot of that. So start your wealth building, keep your wealth building, invest in rental, primary real estate. It is a fantastic investment. All right, Sandy, how about the mortgage update?
Okay, so mortgage rates seem to have steadied just a little bit, right around the 6-ish, depending on your credit score and your loan to value. We're thinking now that we've had one quarter of low GDP, and we're estimating another quarter of low GDP. So we will probably end up in a recession if we're not there already, and rates will calm down. So
why are
you laughing?
That's really valuable data.
Well,
I mean, we're okay. So we can take a poll. There's three of us in the studio. We can take a poll. So in our super secret poll, how many here believe that we're going to be in a recession very soon? Raise your hand.
Oh,
okay.
Unanimous.
Since unanimous, there are 3 out of 3. Do you realize that's like a huge poll? Well, Sandy, we're going to talk more about this because TJ is giving me a really funny signal, like stop talking,
TJ.
So we can go to break and advertisers can have their chance. We'll be right back. Watch one of my ads run. That'll be funny. Mm-hmm. Well, the show, Your Real Estate Today, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Don't go anywhere.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison. Thanks for spending Saturday afternoon with us. So glad to be with you, along with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. And I so rudely had to interrupt Sandy while she was giving the mortgage update. So let's uninterrupt and let you finish. So you said, recap.
Recap is that it appears we are heading into a recession due to GDP and also to unemployment because that has taken a turn. And what does that mean for our home buyers? It means even if you are stuck in a little bit of a high rate right now, that you are correct. We will probably see rates drop once we're deep into it and the market slows, which it is starting to already. However, we are still seeing quite a few contracts, and it's good news for people because they are able to find some houses now. At least some people can, but don't expect the deal of the century. And honestly, your rate will not change on a home ownership, but if you're renting, it's going to change every year. So you need to keep that in mind when you're thinking of, wait, I'll just rent, because that's not a stable payment.
Oh, wait a minute. So you're saying rents go up every year?
Typically, yes.
You know, it's so funny, Sandy, that I get a lot of, obviously I work with a lot of investors and I am one, and you know, they're afraid every year of raising the rent because they think the tenant's going to leave. So I always say this to them. I say, okay, let's say we raise the rent $50 a month.
Okay.
So 600 a year. My math good?
Yep, pretty good.
Okay. What does it cost to rent a moving truck?
Well, if you don't have that much stuff, it's $29.95.
An hour.
Right.
An hour.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know many people that don't have that much stuff?
Sure, but not that many.
The point is they don't want to move. The cost of moving, let's call it even best case scenario, just cost alone, is $300.
Yeah, it's probably a lot higher than that based on my experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, once you add the insurance, the gas.
Every hour.
The time.
They're always slower than
you
think.
The stuff you break.
Yeah.
The point is, they're not going to move for $600. Or if they do, they were going to move anyway. So
right.
Don't let that be something that stands
in your way. And they're going to expect it. If they've rented at all, they're going to expect it.
They are. Because if you look at apartments, if you're in an apartment, you're going to get a rent raise like clockwork. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes they do it mid-year. So just FYI, good thing to think about if you're an investor. Okay. All right. Let's jump into the content for today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. TJ, are you ready? We got the special thing on? Okay.
Special
okay.
thing. Okay.
All right. So here we go. First of all, why? I want to peel the onion.
Okay.
So when we get a contract, somebody buys a home, sign, you go, Paul, get me that contract now.
Yes, I do.
Why? Why do you have to have it before the ink even dries?
Because the longest part of the loan process is the appraisal and the title work. So I have to order those immediately if we're going to be on time. And people want fast closings now. So as soon as I get the contract, I can order both of those things.
That's interesting because I never really understood why it was like a hurry up and wait scenario. Because you're right. The closing times have shortened considerably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It used to be 60, then it went down to 45,
mm-hmm.
now it's 30, and in some cases, It's even 21.
Yeah. In a lot of cases, it's been 21.
Yeah.
Because people want to get paid and people want to move.
Yeah, that's true. They don't want anything to fall apart.
No.
So, next kind of question, layering onto the onion, why are we seeing ads for rates so varied when everybody shops from the same rate store? You've told me that a couple of times. It's like there's this giant rate mall. But what makes people different is the products that they offer, the services they provide, and the competitive way that they and the way that they handle the transaction, right?
Right.
So, but why do I get online and all of a sudden something pops up that says, you know, 30-year fixed 3.9, when I know there's no rate available for that?
Yeah, I think that in particular is false advertising. So we do all get the rate from the same place for the most part, unless it's a portfolio lender. It's a right. net rate. The lenders add on to pay their people, called a margin. And right now, there's some lenders that are very desperate to stay alive. So their whole policy is, hey, let's cut rates and undercut the market so that we can try to survive and get some loans in here. But the reality is that when you don't pay your people very well, and if you don't have enough people in operations to handle the volume, then your service is bad. You don't close on time. People don't know what they're doing. And then it's all snowballs, and a lot of times the rates expire before they ever close. So a great rate is great, but it doesn't help you if you can't close it and you can't have it in the end.
Okay. All right. So let's say then, let's peel the layers back and get back on track. So let's say that I get a signed contract. I send it to you immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You get in touch with a client. You quote them a rate.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I wanted to talk about just kind of the where can the loan go wrong?
Okay.
Where can the loan go wrong? But before we go to where can the loan go wrong, we have to explain in a very basic form what happens once I immediately, air quote, get that contract to Sandy. What are the few steps that happen? And again, just in a basic form, what's happening behind the scenes to set the groundwork for what could happen to stop the loan?
Okay, so what we do is we prepare the file for disclosure. So we have to know how people want their names. We have to know what attorney they want. We always up front ask them about their homeowner's insurance, because what you don't want is to get all the way to the end and they haven't picked their homeowner insurance company, and that could delay things. So we get all that information. We want to make sure we put them in the right program. We review all their documents one more time to make sure they haven't expired while they've been looking, and we disclose their loan. And then it moves over to the processor, and she re-looks at everything and sends it to the underwriter, who re-looks at everything. And in the meantime, we're trying to get that appraisal and title work in. So when the loan's approved and we have the title work, then we can send the closing disclosure. Urgent when we send that, the people have to sign it, because that starts a 3-day wait period that the government has implemented. So they can't sign, if they don't sign that or acknowledge that closing disclosure, the initial one, and it's not going to be the final one, then we can't close the loan on time. So we get that out as early as we can. And then we get whatever the underwriter needed clarification of, whether it's another bank statement, whether it's what's that inquiry about, or where did you get that money for that large deposit, any of that stuff. And we give it back to the underwriter with the appraisal and the title. She clears it for closing. We send out the closing pack. And then everybody signs and everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. It's a good part. And then, you know, we celebrate and hoo-hoo.
That's right.
And the money gets to the attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorney draws up the title work. Everybody, you sign a stack of papers and you go
open the door. What fun was that? Yeah. It's great fun to get a mortgage.
You know, if you're self-employed, there's a few extra steps that you have to throw in.
More documents, right? We need to know if you're self-employed. We've had a few cases where people don't tell me that. And one in particular is if you have a C-Corp versus an S-Corp. So if you have a C-Corp, we can't see it on your personal returns. We might see dividend income, and we'll see W-2 income, but it doesn't flow through to your personal returns. So we need to know if you're more than 25% owner of any business.
You know, and there's also some stuff where things don't always happen exactly the way you want, and you got to just write a simple letter of explanation.
Yeah, so what helps a lot is letters of explanation for whatever that needs to, some clarification for the underwriter and the investor.
Right, that sounds good. All right, well, we've got more to come. We're going to jump into why your mortgage may not make it through. What could go wrong? We'll be right back. Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage, myself, Paul Jamison. The Show Your Real Estate Today. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
The following is a...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back, friends, to the Show Your Real Estate Today. You know, sometimes it's better not to leave the microphone on at the break. Things happen here in the studio. Problem is a lot of these things, if you go to our YouTube channel, you can see them. If you go to the Jamison Realty YouTube channel, you can see some of the looks that I receive when I say things or some of the looks that I give when I say things. And that my hands flail all over. So if you go to the Jamison Realty YouTube channel, you can watch me and Sandy in the studio, and we're talking and interacting together with TJ and talking to you about real estate. So that's an exciting thing. And again, this, if you're just tuning in, you're going to have no idea what we're talking about, but this show is about real estate. And I'm Paul Jamison with the Jamison family of companies. That's Realty, Property Management, Property Investments. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Cross Country Mortgage. Okay, Sandy, what can go wrong with my mortgage? What can make it get denied?
It's a minefield walking through the mortgage process. That's what I can tell you. So one of the first things is that credit score.
Why? I mean, what difference does it make? It's many, just a number.
For many, many
it's
reasons.
It's just a number. Doesn't everybody get a trophy?
Everybody doesn't get a trophy when it comes to credit scores.
Dang, I was looking for the trophy.
It can affect your rate. It can affect your qualification. Certain types of loans do not allow certain credit scores, or they require more down payment if you do have a lower credit score. And sometimes the system just doesn't like your credit and it's not going to approve you.
Okay, so this is something, if you're going to go out looking for houses, this is something maybe to check out.
Definitely
early.
Pay attention. Call me. We can do a soft pull. We'll know what we're up against then. I have had a lot lately where there's a lot of disputes on the credit report. Those have to be removed, and they're not always easy to get off of there. Because if you dispute a dispute, then it shows up as a dispute. You have to have the dispute language removed. And underwriters don't like disputed accounts because it pulls them out of the algorithm, and it can change your credit score drastically. So do not – I know a lot of these counseling companies dispute everything, and then it's a chore. Some people have several disputes, and they don't always even have to have them on there. Sometimes having credit and having it in the algorithm helps you get approved. So, and sometimes it's one simple thing that you can do to boost that score 50 or 100 points.
Yeah, and recently you'd mentioned it in a previous show, some of the medical stuff here pretty soon is going to be
July 1st.
An issue.
July 1st.
Like, we're talking Friday.
Friday. As of Friday, if you have a medical collection under $500, it's not going to hurt your score.
Right. Because you remember years ago when my son didn't pay a bill and they attached it to my name.
Mm-hmm.
It was $300, I think. and it made a 90-point difference in my credit score. And my son was about 39 years old at the time.
Sneaky.
And I put him in timeout, and he graciously loved to be there.
I bet he did. Who wouldn't love that when they get older?
Yeah,
have
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. Please put me in timeout, Dad. Please. Anyway, yeah, I couldn't spank him.
Okay, so we do have wayfinders and wizards to see what will help boost your score. So you don't really have to pay to get your credit fixed.
Repaired. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. All right. There's something called DTI. Your DTI is too high.
Yes, that's a problem.
What is DTI?
DTI is your debt ratio. So you have a housing debt ratio and a total debt ratio. The housing is just what's your payment going to be versus what you bring home but what you make grossly every month.
So your debt to income.
Debt to income. And then the total is all your debts together.
Big debt to income.
Correct.
Okay.
Whole shebang.
All shebang to income.
All shebang.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what is the
ideal?
Yeah. What makes the lender happy?
Lender's happy if you're not paying more than about 30% a month on your house and total of about 40-41. They say QM, which is qualified mortgage, is up to 43%. Now, we've gotten them approved up to 50 and sometimes 55%. And VAs, I've gotten them approved, believe it or not, up to 87%. But
how does that work?
VA, just if everything's super strong, they're not so concerned about the ratio. They think you can handle your payments and you're motivated to pay them. So I wouldn't count on that. That's very rare. But
that must mean they got a potload of money in the bank.
It's something, but I don't think it's a good idea to spend 87% of your income every month. You need to save at least 20%, and that really cuts into it.
Yeah, for sure. Boy, that's kind of cray cray there. All right, and then there's something called LTV.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
That's your loan-to-value ratio. So so it's how much money you're putting down on the house, basically.
So what if it's your loan-to-value is too high?
Then we will scrutinize your loan to the nth degree.
So in other words, when they say that, that means that your loan-to-value is not the number you put down, it's the number you have left. Right? So if you have a 97% LTV, that number being too high makes you more risky and more scrutinized.
Right. Less skin in the game that you have, the higher the risk of the loan.
Hmm. Does the fact that you are putting, say, a lot more money into due diligence matter?
No.
Because it goes towards the down payment, or it can, right?
Yeah, but typically you can get money back at closing. So it's really what we're going to loan you. So if you put down 50% in due diligence, but you have a 90% loan, you're getting a lot of that money back at closing.
Oh, okay. I've never seen anybody do that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could.
Yep.
Huh. I just learned something.
How about that?
Yeah, it's pretty cray-cray. All right. Your employment status recently changed. Number four.
That's when we freak out. When we call when we call at the last minute and say, hey, we just want to verify this client is still employed with you. And they're like, nope, he quit yesterday or he no longer works here.
Then, has that happened?
Oh, it happens, yes. It happens more than you think. Most of the time, somebody's gotten another job and they just haven't told us. Some of the time, they don't have a job anymore, and the whole loan goes bad, really bad.
Yeah, I guess when you have no verifiable
income. Yeah, you got to have income.
All right, so what happens if, let's use TJ as an example.
Okay.
You know, TJ is the master of working magic in the studio. So his title is Director of Working Magic in the Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And yet TJ wakes up one morning and says, I've decided to quit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to become the director of of plant reconciliation at Pike Nursery. So he's going to help recover plants and make them feel better and and grow greener leaves. He just has a calling. And he leaves that job, but he has another job that's in a completely unrelated industry.
Yeah, that's risky. That's risky for us. That's going to be a problem.
But what if he's going to make more money?
Still, he doesn't have a history of it, and we don't know if he's going to be successful. So it's kind of a red flag.
Okay.
Now we can send the underwriter chocolates and flowers and champagne and hope she drinks a lot of it. But chances are it's going to be a problem.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, don't change.
If you change and it's in the same line of work, or say he used to work with plants years ago.
As a reconciler?
That's right.
Or any kind of plants.
Or he took horticulture classes. Like, I will make a case for TJ to get the loan if he has any experience with plants that I can document.
He actually had been fighting in previous years for the return of fake plants, which you cannot kill and don't need to reconcile, which is a good thing, you know? But, you know, who knows?
They
might
best kind.
Pass monkeypox on. All right. So, next, let's wrap it up to come back, because I'm getting the signal. We're going to talk about more ways that your loan could go sideways on the show Your Real Estate Today. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Welcome back, friends. The show Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday to you. I'm Paul Jamison, your host. We're so glad to be spending Saturday with you talking about real estate. Now we're talking a little bit about your loan and things just that could affect you having a successful transaction. And if you go back to the WBT.com and you go to the shows tab and you want to watch it or listen to it on your phone, we've got archives of shows. If you missed something and you wanted to hear again what I talked about in the current state of the market today or other shows, you can go back and listen to them there. Or you go to the Jamison Realty YouTube channel, and we've got a huge archive of shows there as well. All right. So Sandy with Cross Country is with me, and we're talking about these things. And number five, see, the first few were around your credit score, changing your job, you know, having not putting enough money down, things that could be scrutinized. This is in your own bank account. You can actually have unusual bank account activity, money coming in and out that can be a problem, right?
That's right. So we look at reoccurring debt, or reoccurring withdrawals or payments out of your account to see if there's a debt you might not have disclosed to us.
Oh.
So we look for that. Large deposits, depending on the type of loan, we have to document where they came from. You can't just get a bunch of money and throw it in. Say you've been saving all your money in the safe and all of a sudden you decide to throw it in for the house. We cannot document that, so then you cannot use that money. And if you take it out, it's even worse. If you put it in and then take it out, then we not only use the current balance, but we also back out the deposit, and then you even have less money.
Oh, gosh. But what if Mamaw gives me $5,000 or $6,000 and says, you know, I've been wanting to give this to you, and I didn't want you to have to wait, and I'm excited to be supportive of you getting this new home, and you put that money in the bank.
So Mamaw can do that because she's a relative, and that's called a gift. And so then we have to have a gift letter that says, I'm giving this money for the purchase of the house. It does not have to be paid back. Here's where it's coming from. We need to know where Mamaw got the money.
Well, Mamaw got it from under the mattress.
And that's a problem, Mamaw.
She's been using the same tea bag for 400 years. That's where. All right. Okay. What about you have this here. There's a problem with the property.
Mm-hmm.
A problem with the property?
I have one right now with a problem.
Okay. Please share.
So it appears that on one of our deals, there's a history of, on the title, where they can't document that it was transferred legally. It was transferred to an LLC. However, the LLC was not in existence. So we're looking to see if maybe the previous owner had an owner's policy that would cover that. Things like that happen a lot with estates, too. So that's a problem. Deeds that were deed of trust that were not extinguished or showed satisfied, that's a problem. Appraisal could have something on it, a safety issue, or, you know, a problem with, you know, something inside the house, a structural issue that could cause the loan not to go through. It might be a geodesic home. We do not do those with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. like the style does matter. If they don't tell me or if I don't know it's a manufactured home, that's a whole different loan than a regular house.
Yeah, but I mean, like, so the... not just, I guess, FHA and VA appraisers who are sometimes want to be home inspectors, but if they go through and there's a tear in the carpet or an issue with the flooring in the kitchen.
Cosmetic stuff is not always an issue with us. You know, if there's no floor, if there's only a subfloor, that's a problem. But a tear in the carpet is very cosmetic. We don't really care about that. It's not unless it's a trip hazard. Which it typically is not.
Yeah. The one I tell you the one I see the most. You really want to know the one I see the most?
I do. I'm dying to know.
Is a handrail.
Yes. Yes. We don't want people falling off stuff.
What is it? More than three steps or something?
Something like that. So typically outside. Usually the inside's okay, but not always. We have had a couple on the inside that had to be installed. And I think
a handrail on the inside?
Yeah,
oh,
a stairwell.
Coming down the stairwell?
A stairwell, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Decks, they have to have certain.
I mean, that's where
railings.
I almost always see it is on the deck.
On a deck or an outside stairwell. Yeah,
or the exit out the back or something.
And sometimes there's an exit out the back and you just go straight down. So
yes. Mm-hmm.
There's no stair or deck.
Yeah, and then what you do, and I've had to do this twice that I can think of now, is you just take some boards and nail them on both sides of the door so nobody can go out it and screw them in there, and the appraiser comes back and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
All right. So the next one, number seven, you've got a little history of missing a payment or two.
Yeah. Well, especially if it's a mortgage payment, that's a huge issue because we want, in fact, all of our home buyer classes say, if you're going to miss anything, don't miss your mortgage payment, because we take that very seriously. If there's one in the last 12 months, probably not a huge deal. Anybody can make a mistake. But more than that, it's probably going to cause a problem.
Yeah.
And depending on how late they were, too.
Oh, okay. What about during COVID? If they had...
During COVID, we don't run into a lot of problems with that because most people, if they were struggling, they put the mortgage in forbearance, and now it's out. And as long as they're current on their payments, that's not an issue. They didn't report them late.
So being in forbearance and coming out now, most lenders just stuck the balance at the end of the loan, or you had to pay the lump sum to catch up.
Yeah, so whatever happened, as long as it's current. And the credit report doesn't show late. Now, if you didn't do anything and you just made them late and you didn't notify the mortgage company, then that is a problem.
Yeah, that is a self-directed forbearance.
Correct.
Okay. All right. And then number eight, the appraisal is too low.
Yeah, so that can affect your loan to value. That can affect whether or not the buyer wants to buy the house. And it also, can they come up with the difference in the money to, you know, if they're borrowing the max or they want to keep it at 80% to get out of mortgage insurance, are they willing and do they have the available funds to cover the difference?
Yeah, I think that makes a really big difference. Well, if somebody is interested in getting a loan, and talking to you about options to get a loan, because you've got a lot of products, right?
We have tons of products.
Yeah, you do. How should they, what do they do?
They call my mobile, 704-577-0144.
Yeah. All right, a couple things I wanted to talk about. I found interesting. Did COVID kill the dining room? Did COVID kill the dining room? Interestingly enough, in the houses that I've seen, it has. I will give you a personal example. We do not have a dining room table. Do you know what is in my dining room? TJ, care to guess?
An office.
That's what I would guess.
No. A foosball table. I was at a house today, yesterday. The formal dining room had a pool table in it. They've made that room into an activity room, a craft room, an office, as you said. The dining room, if you've got a breakfast area that can accommodate your family or an outdoor living area that has now become an expansion to the indoor space, many, many formal...